What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with Whiskey Wednesday. My main man, Jake Sheehy, so we've got a couple other guys joining us today. Mr. Josh Lake, CEO, founder, five-star guest book, my business partner, CEO of Odyssey Design, Mr. Mike Whitfield, joining us. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to start doing this on Whiskey Wednesdays, where I bring in some of these other experts. These guys have been around the vacation rental game for quite some time. Josh is a long time investor, owner of a short-term rental, as well as part of our Odyssey family. And then Mike is immersed into and really kind of was the pioneer for what we call kind of our Odyssey signature design recipe, really creating those market experiences, giving us those unfair advantages in the marketplace. Mike is the mastermind behind that. And so I think we're going to have some good conversations, some good, moving forward, bringing in some additional, brains behind a lot of the things that are going on. Those of you that are new to our podcast, Whiskey Wednesday is when we talk about trending topics and how they apply to our success in short-term rental investing. And then we also have our expert interviews on Fridays where we bring in short-term rental investors. And so today, Whiskey Wednesday, we got some questions that are coming in. Josh sent over some stuff about some new updates with Airbnb host tools. We're going to start talking about some pinpointing some of the metrics that are moving the needle, which comes down to those immersive experiences. Time. We're going to talk about some tax stuff. Since it is April 15th, tax day for a lot of us, that I shouldn't include myself inclusive into the us, because I always have April or October 15th because I always file the extension. So some of you are having to pay your taxes right now. And so I push mine off. And so we'll talk about some travel cancellation concerns growing, some of the things going on in the world on the geopolitical side and how it affects short-term rental investors as well as the travelers. And so, guys, we're going to dive into it. So first and foremost, I always ask you a couple favors at the end of every episode. I'm going to start asking if you remember the first of these episodes, because 58% of you that listen regularly do not subscribe. So hit the subscribe button, follow us, whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things really help the show grow. You guys know that you don't have to sit through a whole bunch of ads or sponsorship talk, because we don't want them on the show. So subscribe, whatever platform you're watching and listening on. That way the algorithm will help us grow the show it to somebody else that's very much similar to you and might have some similar interest, and then the show gets in front of it. So those things are very, very helpful. We also had an email lead question from Andrea, and Andrea asked us and said, as a reminder, always email in your questions to support@bodyssey.com, and we will make sure that we get those answered on an upcoming episode. Andrea is asking, do you think geopolitics are keeping people closer to home, and of course all the other things getting so much more expensive? Do you think that they're going to be staying closer to home? So, Andrea, the answer to that question is yes. I do think that the drive to destinations are going to be tough, especially in these kind of uncertain times. Anytime we see really uncertainty in markets, when we saw this during COVID, the last time we had a big correction in the marketplace, is travelers still want to travel. People still want to go on vacation, but the drive to destinations do become more attractive. They become less volatile, and because of us as consumers, we still want to go, but we don't want to take those big risks of spending a whole bunch of money flying across the oceans to some of these really fun destinations that we may want to go to. But with all the, especially the geopolitical climate there that's going on right now, we will see, and we think the trends are. I think Josh sent over some stuff about some increasing travel cancellations, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, Andrea, I do think that we're going to see those drive to destinations become more desirable, more favorable. I think that we have talked about this in the past. Short-term rentals are an economical way to travel. And so as things get more and more expensive, we start to think about, hey, I still want to go on this vacation, but maybe I could go with a friend or a family member. We can split the cost, because a lot of short-term rentals have full kitchens and we don't have to go out to eat every day. And we can, they've got multiple, bedrooms, and we can house, one or two different families splitting the bill there. So it becomes more economical. So lots of different reasons why I think that's going to be the case moving forward. And so Josh and Mike, any comments on that? I think that Josh, you had some, probably some thoughts on that as you're looking at some of the cancellation trends.
When we look at, we are in Hilton Head, South Carolina, You know, our major drive tos are from Atlanta, Augusta, Columbia, Charlotte. You know, we normally would see this time of year a lot more fly-ins. They fly into Savannah, they'll Uber, get a car back up. At least from our summer bookings, it's been substantially less than normal, a lot more driving to. But also, you know, I think we've seen booking lead times drastically shrink in these markets as well, but the flights don't work that way, right? You want to book that flight as far out as possible, but it's a lot, you still have plenty of availability if you wait a little more last minute for booking these vacations as well, just on those, how those consumer behaviors have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Mike, you see it on the design side where we're really trying to create these equitable experiences for multiple people sharing the bill, right? It's one of the key concerns that we, you know, and that you've really been addressing over the past few years is we know that this is that people are splitting the bill, that people are sharing the cost of travel. And, you know, when it's not equitable from the people that are splitting the bill, it becomes a little bit of a problem. And so that from the design side, we've been trying to build in those unfair advantages to attract people during the good times, but also during some recessionary, some bad times, because we know guests still want to travel. We've got to make it a really fun way to do that, split bills with other people.
100%. And to this point, right, the longer that you've put off booking that travel, the more expensive that travel gets, which means the more I'm spending going on this vacation, which means even though it's not your fault as the short-term rental homeowner that all that extra money had to be spent. Yeah. It's not your fault that I waited to the last minute to book it because I was going somewhere else and got a little gun shy because of the geopolitical turmoil. And I feel like I just want to stay home. None of these things are the STR owner's fault, yet they bear the burden of the expectation of I spent all this money. Thus, I want to get as much as I can out of the vacation that I'm about to go on. So to your point, Sean, if you get there and I've got a primary suite that's just absolutely tricked out to the nines, and then I've got like the guest room and then I've got the kids room. And typically, if you think in terms of a normal home decor, as you go away from the master or primary to the guest to the then kids rooms, et cetera, the quality of the experience tends to drop because we're thinking, oh, I don't need to spend as much on the kids room, or I don't need to do as nice a thing in the other guest bedroom as I do in the primary. And then what happens is, as you said, when people show up and they're splitting these bigger bills to be there and they get there and I got shafted with the lowest end kids room off on the corner, I don't feel like I got my money's worth. And now your review bears the burden of the inequitable experience.
Yeah, 100%. And it's exactly why you have to think about this on the front end of all. We have to think about, okay, how do I give myself these unfair advantages throughout this entire process? And it's not always during, like, we think about it when something is happening to us, right? Oh, crap, there's a war right now, or there's, you know, gas prices skyrocketed. All these decisions we're making are to help, because like you said, it's not our fault that we went to war. It's not our fault the gas prices are going up. I mean, we could say, well, it's not my fault. So, but you bear the brunt of the problem, right? And so the performance is going to be based on that problem that's going out there. And so this is why it's so, so important when you are buying the right property in the right area, drive to destinations. We love drive to destinations, always have, always will. We think they're the most recession-proof type of destinations. We want to be 2 to 4 hours outside of major metropolitan areas because we know that in good times and bad times, people are going there. So we make those decisions, good or bad times, right? Then setting these properties up, just going back to Andrew's question, do I think this is going to happen? Yes, I do think it's going to happen. What did I do a year ago or 2 years ago when I bought the property to put myself in a position to succeed during this type of an environment, right? And so, and a lot of that comes down to, I just saw an article recently about one of the biggest traveler complaints when sharing spaces is there's not an equitable experience across the board. And it's saying, well, who gets the master bedroom? And then who gets the guest bedroom? That's, you know, we decided just because it's a guest bedroom, I'm not putting king mattresses in there. I'm going to throw a queen in there. I'm going to throw, you know, a full in there. Maybe save a little bit of money, or maybe it's a little bit smaller bedroom. All of those things come to fruition right now when the consumer gets more discerning with their money. They're giving a little more, you know, they're more than one person's paying the bill and making decisions. All of a sudden, sometimes it's really hard to go readjust, right? You should be readjusting if you're not putting yourself in that position, in my opinion. But those decisions you're making during that acquisition, the setup, you made those decisions a year or two ago sometimes, and you're getting the benefits of those decisions now. Maybe right after COVID, it really didn't matter, for example, if you made the right decisions and had an equitable experience, because the supply demand gap was so out of whack that if you had a short-term rental, you were printing money, right? And so I think that was because of their decisions. It wasn't. That was market. But when the market shifts the opposite way and the buyer becomes a lot more, you know, selective, and they start to say, hey, listen, I want this and I don't want that, and we're looking at this and we're not looking at that, all of a sudden, those decisions are going to set you up in a position to succeed and or set you in a position to just be a race to the bottom on price because you didn't give the consumer a compelling reason to book it. And a lot of it is how you're setting it up from the very, very beginning. And so go back up to the top of that there, Jake, so I can, when we talk about the metrics that are moving the needle the most in short-term rentals, and I have some thoughts on this, whether it's right property, right location, design, creating that unique, immersive guest experience, and then marketing it, being able to articulate it. Josh, anything that you're seeing on the front lines when you're looking and working with a lot of these investors, you work with a lot of our members, you do property audits with them, you start to see some of this, but what are some of those metrics that we feel like and you're seeing that are moving the needle the most right now?
I think, you know, when you look at those metric breakdowns, it's a fun, you know, top of the funnel down, right? And at the very top of that funnel is first page impressions, right? At a certain point, we have to understand across those metrics how the math works. If Nike sells out of extra large shirts, they just make more shirts and send it out to distributors, end of story. We only have 30 nights of availability, right? So our inventory is capped so that our like equations are pretty finite because we have a variable that can't change. Right. So this first page impressions, if you are seeing that you're on that first page impression massively among your comps, the market is liking what you're doing. And if the market's liking what you're doing, those platforms, your OTAs, your Airbnb, your VRBOs, they're going to continue to like what you're doing. Right. The customer's happy with what they're seeing. They want to click on your page. They want to immerse themselves into your world. They want to book. And essentially, you're making those companies money. So that to me is the biggest indicator of a property that's doing well is first page impressions. I think from there, everything else trickles down into that. You could have a lower than average booking rate, but if your calendar's full and you just don't mathematically have more inventory to offer, but your first page impressions are 10, 20 times that of your competitor, you're winning that game. And I think it's a big piece of it there where people focus on one single metric without understanding the full scope of all the numbers that come into play.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, marketing is about attracting that customer, converting the customer, retaining a customer. Mike, you talk about how people are winning that booking before people even, like the guest and the consumer is, you know, they're scrolling so fast. You can't even, unless you can just stop that scroll, you have to have that scroll stopper type of stuff because things are going, you know, we're consuming so much content, so much information. When we're looking at properties, we're looking at so many properties and they all kind of become the same, right? They call become very comparable. Like you talk about this a lot too. So I'll let you kind of expand on that, but you win the game in the very, very beginning by being able to kind of have some sort of a pattern interrupt. You don't have a pattern interrupt by blending into the crowd, right? You don't have a pattern interrupt by being the same as everybody else. Now, we don't have the luxury of throwing a bunch of clickbait stuff out there. I still have to be a pattern interrupt by actually being different, by actually gaining and standing out in a category of one. And then because I can't use like in property, you know, when people are searching for properties, I can't just throw, you know, a picture of a lady in a bikini to stop scroll, right? Like they do on your Instagram feed at the time. If you're a male over the age of 18, right? It's like the algorithm knows, it's like, well, how can I stop the scroll? We can't do that, right? Is my point. We have to still have very relevant, but pertinent, you know, property images or experiential type of images that don't blend into the crowd. That's difficult to do, right?
Well, the reality is, Sean, if a guest can compare you, then you've effectively already lost, yep. Right? Because now you're in the majority of the 80 to 85%. Most hosts are unknowingly competing on the worst possible thing, comparison. Yep. We've looked at the market and we said, oh, what are the top properties doing here? I want to be like them. What you're doing is you're just saying, I'm going to do more of the same. And the more people that look at that and then try to be that, look at that and try to be that, look at that and try to be that. Now, guests are putting your listing side by side with five others and debating price, beds, and square footage, and now you're in a race to the bottom.
Yep.
So the goal should not ever to be to compete. The goal should be to eliminate comparison altogether. Because when a property creates an emotional connection, when it feels different, when it's unique, when it's intentional, when the converse shifts away from, should we book this, to, I have to book this before someone else does, now you're winning. So to say it as blunt as possible, if your listing is easily comparable, it can be replaced with something else.
Yep.
The second a guest is looking at you and all these other properties, the price war is not where you win. So we're trying never to play that game by designing properties that remove themselves by saying, I want that one. Every guest goes through the same sequence, whether they realize it or not. They see it, then they feel something, and then they start to imagine themselves being there when they book. And most listings, because they're either focused on, like we said earlier, that primary bedroom, or, oh, look, I created this awesome game room that's all the way done, tricked out, but then the rest of the house has not a single piece of art or color to it, and it's just boring, 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 boring. Those don't make you feel anything. The good ones make you feel something. The great ones make you start to picture yourself there. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this kid is going to love that. Oh my gosh, this friend who's going in with me is going to love this. Oh my gosh, my husband is going to love this, or my wife is going to love this, or my grandkids are going to love this. You're imagining the trip in the space before you even clicked on the listing. And that's not something that just happens by happenstance. Yep. That is an intentional design paired with intentional storytelling. So most people think the booking begins when someone starts to read the listing. It happened before they even started the scroll. And when they start the scroll, the sequence is very simple. They see it, they feel it, they imagine themselves there, and then they click on it. And if you miss the feeling and imagination part by not creating that experience all throughout the property where you can start to visualize yourself in it, you're not going to be one of the properties that are crushing it, because they've nailed who you are in the first 3 seconds if everyone's sharing the same amenities and the same vibes and the same stuff from the local home goods, the same furnishers, furniture sets, everything. Okay. So the others sit empty with better specs because they didn't take the comparison out of the equation, and they didn't focus on the emotional dynamics, the experiential dynamics that they could create by getting a guest to visualize all of the ways they were going to enjoy that property.
Right. And we always say, when we set these properties up, we're designing based on ROI, not on like a feel good type of a, you know, what I would call traditional design, right? That looks beautiful. We don't disagree that a lot of properties out there that don't perform very well, frankly, look beautiful. They're amazing properties. And here's the problem in where it lies is, as investors, ourselves included, we have to look at data to give us as much of a predictable outcome as possible, right? To kind of try to narrow in on how much is the consumer spending in a certain market? What are properties making in a certain market? And, you know, where are they located? All those different things. We're looking at all that data. Where it becomes a problem is, well, in my opinion, is we look at that data. We want to kind of have some level of predictability on our return on investment on buying these properties. But what we're doing is we're looking and saying, what does everybody else have? What do the top properties have? Which is very similar to what the middle of the road properties have, by the way, in most markets. And we say, I'm going to go emulate that. I'm going to go make sure that I look like that, because that one's doing well. The issue is, now all of a sudden, we're just a comparable property. We become one of many. If you really want to get an ROI, you have to go outside of the comparables, the comp sets. Very, very important. I'm not saying not to have the comp sets. The comp sets are very valuable, and we use them all day, every day. But we have to also now remove ourselves and say, okay, now how can I create a category of one within this marketplace that I don't have anything to compare to? And many times, and what we do, we call it our immersive design experience, and how we create these immersive designs, because we want them to be different. We want them to be unique. And we have to understand consumer behavior. We talk about this over and over and over again, and I will continue to talk about it until it becomes less of an unfair advantage, because right now it's a massive unfair advantage to understand this on the front end. And what we're really trying to do in a nutshell is to create a category of one. I want to operate in a marketplace of one, right? That way the consumer says, I can't really compare Sean's properties to everybody else's properties. That's my goal. And so if I come out with a beautiful property that operates and sits in the middle or the top of the market and looks comparable to other top properties, all of a sudden the consumer is going to judge me based on my price. I want to remove price completely out of the equation from the consumer. But you mentioned something earlier too, Mike, is I want to remove the out of the equation that they have another option besides mine if they like mine. I've never booked this before somebody else does. And usually that's at a premium price. If we give the consumer a reason to do that, they will do it. If we don't.
Well, Sean, to tap into that a little more, just looking at overarching consumer behavior, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at just some of the higher end fashion brands in shopping. Well, take purses, for example, okay? You go to any vacation rental area and you have a Coach outlet, okay? You've got the Gucci outlet. You never see a Louis Vuitton outlet. You got to go buy that, right? You don't see Versace typically. Like the reality is all these crazy brands, people are always trying to get into the next highest brand that they can afford, but none of it makes rational sense. Buying a Louis Vuitton handbag, you know why Louis Vuitton is actually famous? Because they invented vinyl, okay? A Louis Vuitton trunk used to be very, 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 very heavy. And they started with trunks because they were all made out of leather and wood and metal. And Louis Vuitton was the first thinker to go, we're going to figure out how to use lighter weight materials that still hold up to travel. Thus, vinyl was born. And what most people don't realize is most Louis Vuitton bags are vinyl printed bags with leather trim that you're paying $2,500 to $5,000 for. Why do people do that? Because sales are about psychology, not just pretty things. Because there are plenty of prettier bags than a vinyl Louis Vuitton printed bag that don't outsell Louis Vuitton. When it comes to short-term rentals, a lot of people think that design is about making the space look nice. But the highest performing properties aren't just designed for looks, they're designed for decisions, okay? So with that Vodacy signature recipe, the lens looks different. We're not asking, does this look good? We're asking, why is someone traveling here? Who are they when they travel here? What's their family composition? What are they looking for? What do we want them to feel? And what do they want to feel when they walk in the door? Because bookings aren't happening pragmatically from logic here, because it's not logical to buy a Louis Vuitton bag. It's not logical to buy a Gucci bag. It's not logical to buy these brands. But if you go to many, many places, there's like 100 of these stores selling at full price. Like go to Vegas. It's in every shopping mall. How are these stores surviving? Because people shop emotionally. And if your space doesn't create feeling, it doesn't create demand. So you have to start designing for approval and start designing for action. Okay. Like don't try to impress your friends, or worse, don't design it like your personal home. Does this look nice? Do I like it? Or what are people gonna say about this? Are my friends going to think it's weird that I did this? The only literal question that matters is the decision I'm trying to make going to make someone want to book me over somebody else? Design isn't decoration, it's marketing.
Yeah.
We're designing for behavior, emotion. The moment where someone goes in and says, this one feels different, that's the shift. Approval of a good design doesn't pay you anything, but a call to action because you've created emotional connectivity absolutely does. So you've got to create in a home, not create a home, create an experience in a home. Yeah. A home is functional, but an experience is vacation that never stops.
Yeah, you know, again, it comes down to just like every premium brand also, why we always say we want to be a category of one. We want to be different. We want to be unique because inherently consumers understand scarcity, right? We understand exclusive brands limit how many, like there's a limited run on stuff, right? And so if they can-
Like to use the purse example, the Birkin bag, right? Yeah. There's only, it is a handful of people that get one every year, and they pay $20,000 for that.
I said, I want to talk about like exclusive, like leather handmade saddles or something that, like that. Like you're throwing me for a loop on the bags because I don't.
Sorry, I got a whole lot of girls in my life.
You're showing that you're outnumbered at home, Mike.
Yeah, I got my wife, my daughters, all their friends.
You're outnumbered.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree though. It's yeah, there's a limited, we don't get to talk to people. We literally have to articulate all of this through literally scrolling on a platform, on Airbnb, on Vrbo, on Facebook, on Instagram, for doing
direct. Yeah.
All of those things have to be articulated. Scarcity, uniqueness, all of that stuff has to be articulated in a way that the consumer chooses us, pays a premium for our stuff without us even being able to talk to them, without us running a whole bunch of ads and understanding our brand and everything else. That's really, really difficult to do. But when you kind of figure out the recipe, it is absolutely doable, right? And so it's one of those things that is, in my opinion, going to be our biggest unfair advantage moving forward. And like not to, Andrea's question was a great question. A lot of people want to know it, but a lot of people are focusing on how do I become more affordable? What do I worry about? Like with travelers not spending money, I promise you guys, in good times, bad times, there's always people who are going to struggle in the bad times, and you're going to have more people struggling than you have, during the good times. But there's a lot of people who are doing well during the bad times as well. There are people who profit during these times. And I've just found it much easier in business to focus on that group of people who are willing to pay a premium and not focus on the people that are on strict budgets and that are really struggling right now
you know why?
It's brutal.
Because you're already booked when the problem happens.
We're so limited. We truly are limited. There really is scarcity with what we do. We have 30 days a month to book. If I can now make it to where I am not a commodity, commodities do not trade at a premium. Never have, never will. Really nice, beautiful homes have become a commodity in the Airbnb, short-term rental, Vrbo, all of that, that space has become, there's nice homes that are commodities in my opinion, right? And so you see this all the time while we're analyzing our members' properties and we're auditing properties. I mean, how often do you see a property and you're like, man, this is really nice. And it's hard to tell them, man, we're missing the boat because we don't have anything unique because everybody else is really nice, right?
Can I light on that? You use the word analyze here. And I think it's a key word to light in on here because most listings are practically invisible to the clients and they don't even know it. Because the reality is 80 to 85% of listings all look exactly the same. Same furniture, same layout, same safe decorating decisions, same safe pop of color or accent wall or safe wallpaper to give it something different. The problem isn't that any of this looks bad. It's that they look forgettable. Okay. And I want to make that perfectly clear because a lot of times I'm analyzing, again, that word, a property. And I will start by saying your property isn't bad. It's actually quite beautiful. It's just not interesting. It's not different. And why I keep lighting on the word analyzing is that when most guests are scrolling Airbnb or VRBO, they aren't analyzing. They're simply reacting.
Right.
They're reacting. Okay. And if your property doesn't stop their thumb from scrolling in a couple of seconds, they didn't react to you moving them. You're already out of the running because they're already moving on. And now you're back in that funnel of comparison. So the real question becomes, as a property, are you trying to fit in with the market? You look at the top performers and go, what have they done? And then you say, okay, I'm going to do that. Or do you go, what didn't they do? What are they doing that's standard, right? The quality of goods, the general amenities, what we call the macro amenities, bedrooms, bathrooms. How many beds do you have? Does the furniture falling apart or does it look nice, right? These are all the things everyone's doing. Now the question is, what didn't they do? They didn't do the big art. They didn't do the big themes because they didn't know how. That's not safe. That's scary. They didn't do bright pops of colors that make you stop and go, whoa, this is a bunch of boldness in the middle of 80% of monotone earth tones that I got bored with and kept on scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Again, not that it looks bad. That's actually the problem. It's all good. It's all clean. It's all furnished. It looks like everything else on the platform. And when 80 to 85% of the listings all look good, clean, pretty, nice, we call them model homes. You don't lose because you're worse. You lose because you're just forgettable.
Yeah.
right? Guests aren't sitting at their computers comparing spreadsheets. They're not analyzing like we are. They're not analyzing angles. They're not analyzing experience. They're scrolling fast and they're making emotional decisions. And if your property doesn't interrupt the scroll psychologically, then you're not in the consideration set. So the real issue isn't quality, it's sameness. Right. And now what we've got to figure out and what we have figured out that makes us so unique is we figured out how to be the same in terms of macro amenities, but to completely stand out in the form of micro amenities. The artwork, the color combinations, the experiential aspect of what we're delivering, that's what creates that emotional subset that keeps you from being in the comparative race to the bottom on price alone.
Yep.
It's simple, but hard.
Yeah. And it's, well, it is simple, but it is hard. Everybody wants the result. We all want the result. I talk to people all day, every day that say, hey, listen, this is what I want. And many of them already have properties. And we say, okay, here's what it's going to take. We need to do this, this, and this, or somebody brand new getting into it, right? We all want the view. Nobody wants to climb. You know, it's the constant, I want this. I'm not really willing to do the work. I'm not really actually then talking you into doing the work. I'm just telling you what works and what doesn't work. You choose whether you want to do the work or not. We have seen over thousands and thousands of properties at this stage. What's working? What's not working? It's why we talk about this on a podcast so you can listen in. It's why we got what we've been doing. We do at Odyssey. It's why I wrote a book on this stuff. I'm not trying to talk anybody into this. And I don't want you to mistake that because it is hard. I'm not here to tell you it's easy. Everybody else will tell you it's easy and they will sell you an easy button. But we've been doing this for a long time. I wish I had an easy button because it is hard. But that's why we continue to operate in categories of one in these markets we go into. And because it actually is hard to pull off. It's simple is not always easy. Simple and easy are two different ones, right? The process is actually fairly simple, it's fairly repeatable. It's our blueprint or recipe you can follow. It's not easy. It is hard, right? And I think that the more that people will realize that and understand that and can appreciate that, one, if you're not willing to do it and you want an easy button, I don't think this is the right game to play because it is very crowded. When you think the markets are too saturated, for who? For us? No, I love saturated markets because it's an indicator of demand. Josh, you were just on a stage. And you were the only one that said that, right? Everybody else is like, yeah, we're looking for unsaturated markets. We're looking for outskirt markets. And so for some people, saturated markets are a kiss of death because they just get lost in the crowd. For us, we like it as demand because we know what it's going to take to go win in those types of markets. But it's not easy. It is a lot of work. And there are things that you need to do that a lot of people are not willing to do, right? Josh, I was correct. You were the only one saying that, right?
Yeah, man. I was in a couple of different panels, and one of the panels was saturation's a dirty word, and I like that word. You know, yeah. It's when you have an unfair advantage, it's really fun to play, right?
Yeah, it is.
If it's, you know, roulette is, you know, red, black, and some numbers, right? But what happens if you knew it was always going to be red, or you knew it was always going to be from 10 to 13? Right? I can play a really fun game that way. And so when you have the consumer behavior that, hey, we're continuing to spend money here. I'll use Hilton Head as an example. We are one of 2,700 two-bedroom, two-bath condos on that 9 mile Long Island.
Yep.
And we dominate our resort, right? Because it's easy. Because if I go look at all the other listings of 311 other bedroom, two-bedroom condos in my same resort that have the same floor plan, the same everything, right? We don't even have ocean view at ours. And we dominate that resort because if you look at all 311 others, they are the exact same property.
Yep.
I couldn't tell you one from the next,
yep.
Right? And you're at that point, they're having to compete on price. And then you can look at the fact that what we're able to do with pricing strategies, how we're able to convey all this into our marketing to say, hey, everyone else is having to operate 80 to 90% occupancy, which is really great occupancy, but at like 2/3 of the rate we operate at, we get less wear and tear. We use our properties a good bit, right? The kids love it. We love it. It's part of the benefit of our lifestyle asset, right? That we get to be able to do that. And we use Mike's design. But we've had people ask us, can you manage my unit for me? And I'm like, are you willing to invest into its success to get to this point? No, we just want your results, but we don't want to do what it took to get there. Right.
Yeah.
That's why they remain where they are.
Yeah. And it happens over and over. That's why I say though, you got two, you know, you're one of 2,000 two bedrooms in a 9 mile radius. You're in a community with 300 homes that look exactly the same, same amenities, same proximity. You don't even have the best views in the area. Yet you're dominating that entire marketplace. And because you're willing to do and put in, you know, the steps that it takes to create a category of one, set yourself up to be a category of one, be different, unique, something that the consumer can say, yeah, I can actually see why that one's different, but I can't see why these other 300 homes are different. They all look the same, right? And so that's why we do what we do and why it is a massive unfair advantage and why I think it's going to be a massive unfair advantage for a long time is because it's easy to talk about. We'll have this conversation and then there's going to be five other people on their this exact same conversation on their podcast. Oh, you got to create category one. Oh, you got to have these unique experiences. Oh, you have to do this. It's actually hard to do. And it is not easy to execute and be able to do that. And so where we had a lot of success doing it, but we're seeing how the results are across the board, different property types, different markets, different target audiences, all this kind of stuff leads back to one definitive thing is if we can create a unique experience for a target audience that is different than what the other people in your market are actually offering, you have a really good chance of succeeding in the short-term rental game because you're going to give the consumer a reason to book your property above and beyond everybody else's, but also give them a reason to pay you a premium price for it as well. And at the end of the day, that's what we want, right? And so,
well, that's what high-end commodities sell. We're not selling you the item. We're selling you the emotional nuance that comes with the item, the experience of having the item, the way you feel interacting with the item, the unit, whatever the widget is. It's all about creating experience, vibe, feeling, emotion. You know, you mentioned a couple of things to light on, Josh. Like number one, you mentioned, I don't book my property out as much as everybody else does, but I book it out at a premium price so that it gets less wear and tear and it's available for me and my family to use it more often than not. To be truly successful in this industry, has anyone really stopped to think all you've got to do is win 30 to 40 times a year? And you're wildly successful. And if you're winning 30 to 40 times a year, that's 30 to 40 customers. We're not talking about needing to have thousands of customers like a normal widget you're selling here coming and going, coming and going. We're talking about 30 to 40 people a year saying, you're my first choice. And if you're one of those customer or STR owners that says, you know what, I'm serving, we've got several clients, Sean, that run at 95% occupancy at the highest price in the market, and they don't care to ever go there for their property to ever come offline. And they are literally printing money like an ATM machine because they've chosen, unlike you, Josh, to say, you know what, we're going to back off on the wear and tear, which is a very common move. Get to the top, less bookings, more revenue, less wear and tear. All that adds up. But there's a lot that go, no, I'm full tilt. I'm 95%. There's 2 weeks a year that we're offline. And those are the 2 weeks I'm there for my bonus depreciation and what I got to do to come in and do my job. And then I'm back out and it's booked. That you're winning 50 customers a year at the top of the market. You're killing it. But what's the biggest mind shift that anyone has to have for them to be successful is you're not creating a home. You're creating an experience. You're building an experience. A home is just functional. A home, an experience is something that never stops. It's memorable. It's a model versus a memorable execution. You don't want people saying this place was adequate in a review. You want people saying the pictures didn't do it justice. We have to come back. If you get to book this, you have to book it. That review currency is everything. And then when you understand how to lean into themed environments correctly, visual storytelling, destination-driven designs, your property stops just becoming a place to sleep and starts becoming part of the trip itself, okay? So the mindset to break, if you're listening to this and you're like, am I doing this? And to Sean's point, as I said earlier, it's simple but hard. Looking across a 100-foot ravine at another piece of land, it's simple to know we need a bridge here. But hard to actually build that bridge, right? It takes bringing in the experts and everything to do it. So it's simple to sit here and speak. As Sean said, every podcast is going to be out here saying these things, But do they actually know how to do it? Well, it starts with the mindset. We're not renting out a house. We're selling what it feels like to stay here. Don't miss this. Don't focus on the furniture. Focus on the experience. Focus on the storytelling. This is where we're celebrating. This is going to be fun. This is going to be feel different than home. I've got news for you. I don't like staying at a home that's like my home. I don't want a home away from home. If my home was that great, I'd probably just stay there, right? So if your property just feels like another house, then you've already lost to one that doesn't. And I think that the reason that the Vodacy signature recipe works so well is we figured out a way to leverage dollars across the entire home in every single room, creating a unique experience that you can start to see yourself engaging with, that you can start to get excited about, that doesn't look like every other home, that makes you stop to scroll. All the things we've been talking about, the correct algorithm does. It's a simple algorithm after 30 years of figuring it out.
Right. Yeah. It's it's simple because we've been doing it so many times and we have been able to make so many mistakes. Like we've tested, iterated for years and years on this. And so, you know, and it has become very predictable at this stage, right? Investing is always, there's an inherent risk in investing, always. There's an inherent risk in always, like, what should I do to this property? How do I, I'm like, okay, Sean, Mike, Josh, I'm buying into what you're saying, but I've got to now write a check or employ the right people to put this all together, right? And say, hey, listen, how am I going to actually do this? And there's a risk in doing that because we don't know exactly how the consumer is going to respond. We try to stack those odds in our favor by saying, like, over, like, what we talk about is like, well, we've actually seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of properties and how the consumers actually have responded to this many properties. This, at this stage, this is a theory. This isn't just talking about consumer behavior. It's saying, how have we been able to apply this to properties? But it still comes down to data. It still comes down to analytics and saying, hey, listen, what is my best guess of what a consumer is willing to pay for something in this market? And it's really kind of sometimes hard when we're talking about this because I have to make these investment decisions based on the data available to me. But we're actually seeing in most of these markets, we are setting high watermarks, right? We can't underwrite a high watermark. You shouldn't underwrite, you know, busting the, you know, the top amount that anybody's ever paid in that market by 30%. Does it happen? Yeah, it does. But if I can't make it work at what they're actually paying, I'm going to struggle in this game because I still have to make those logical, analytical type of decisions as I'm starting to do this. And luckily, we've been able to still make money at the top of those markets with this, but then giving the market a reason to pay more than the top. So Josh, we're talking about some new tools that Airbnb came out with. You know, you self-manage your property. You don't use all the fancy owner reses and the PM property management systems. You just manage your property on Airbnb, like many of our listeners might be doing. And so Airbnb just dropped their new host tools that's kind of trying to compete with some of the things with like Price Labs, Rank Breeze. Is it mostly a price optimization tool? Talk to me about that because I don't know and don't manage my own properties, but talk to me about some of those tools that you're able to tap into. Is it because you obviously, you within our Vodacy community, you're very familiar with our underwriting and help our members with a lot of underwriting with AirDNA. How is this tool helping you as a host, but also be able to look at the data and make really smart investment pricing type decisions? Is that mostly what it is?
Yeah, I mean, like a couple of different ways. You know, one, when we first started out, we had a PMS and we went through it, but the reality was I didn't need it. And it wasn't because it's a bad tool. It was just like, hey, from the way that I'm running the operation and the way that I like to get my hands dirty, there was paying $49 a month just didn't make sense. Why? I'm only using two of the features of the 87 others it has. I didn't need it, right? But also, but from the hosting tool standpoint and what matters, I'd personally, no offense to any listeners out there, I would not use Airbnb's pricing strategies, right? Airbnb's pricing strategy is to make Airbnb money, not you money per se, right? And so I'm here to make me money. And so that's my priority focus. For us, we use price labs, right? But we don't set it and forget it. I think leaving, you know, you need to have your finger on the pulse. You need to understand why pricing changes are happening. If you're, if something looks off, it probably is, right? And if you can't identify why this is wrong, then we need to understand the why behind it. Within Vodacy, we say this a lot, especially on our self-management calls. We are at Vodacy, we are in an echo chamber of high performers. It's really easy to get lost in the nuances when you're at the top and everyone else is at the top with you. But the majority of hosts are not, right? And the middle gets real messy. So a lot of the Airbnb host tools, you know, the overall goal for them giving you this information, first and foremost, is to help their conversion. They're like, hey, if we can better educate the host to do a better job, we will make more money. They didn't do it to be nice. They did it because it'll help them make more money, right? Photo Tour, which I think is savvy, the user should get off Photo Tour immediately. Photo Tour helps the majority of Airbnbs get better bookings because the average person using grandma's furniture and, you know, like the bathroom is coming up ahead of the living room. They just, hey, we're gonna have the AI do it. You just sit back and relax. And to the average person, use Photo Tour and that's fine. Those are a little more savvy. But from the host tool standpoint, you can see a lot of these comparable things on sites like Rank Breeze or Price Labs. I like to dabble in all those because I do lead that within the program to make sure that are we on the surface of something, but we also understand how these metrics are figured out. And I won't dive too far in it, but think about this for us, something that Mike dives into a good bit here is who are you talking to, right? If you're advertising to golfers, we're themed out for golf and that's who we're talking to. If you're on the Bourbon Trail, it's groups of guys. If you're a bachelorette pad in Nashville, it's pink, it's Shania Twain and Taylor Swift to white cowgirl boots, right? I personally would not stay there. No, someone got it to me for free, I would, but I'm not looking for a bachelorette pad. Right? So who are we talking to? And then how's that individual going to end up converting into your place? So for us, if we have we cater to families with small children, specifically 5 and under, and we're not talking to dad, we don't care if it's credit card, we talk to mom, right? It's my wife's face on the listing because one, she's a lot better looking, and two, mom would rather talk to mom than me, right? So all that part there is at play. When we look at these host tools though, a lot of the blanket ones, it'll say, oh, you're showing up on page 2 for 4 guests. Well, if I'm catering to families of small children, well, how's that guest dynamic? Is it 2 adults and 2 children, 2 adults, 1 child, 1 infant, right? But usually most of those sites is just blanket 4 guests. And so a lot of those rankings are not going to be indicative of where you truly are based upon you know, who you're talking to, if that makes sense, right? Yeah. So like Rank Freeze, for example, I like Rank Freeze, but Rank Freeze is a pretty blind search, right? So if I can say, hey, if I'm a 2-bedroom unit and I book mainly to one family and their kids, and you know, oh, I'm on page 5 with 4 guests, go to an incognito window and go look up 2 adults and a kid and an infant, or 2 adults and 2 kids, and see where you show up then. And you may show up in a completely different place, good or bad, right? Based on who your conversion is. But we also have to understand, again, not too far on a tangent, that anything that we do on our end, good or bad, that potentially could affect Airbnb making money, right? You get punished for it, right? So if you had a guest canceled just because, hey, we're not coming in town anymore, thank you so much for the opportunity to give us the ability to cancel, even though we're being more flexible as a host to allow that it's not, you know, they have that cancellation window, we actually get dinged for that. We get punished until a new review or new booking comes in, right? Those things, those small nuances. We had a member, I think, last week on Whiskey Wednesday about the smoking, someone smoking pot in the unit, right? And I had a call with her, right? And I was like, look, I was like, is it worth it? I was like, is it worth the ding to go after an extra $100 on Airbnb? And if you're crushing it, right, and the damage was severe, go for it. But in general, it's not worth the dip in the rankings you're going to get, because we are not their customer. We're their vendor, and vendors are easily replaceable. So I think a very long tangent there. But I think with the hosting tools, it's a lot of ways for the average consumer who maybe doesn't dive into it that much to get a better overall understanding of how the process works. Yeah. Right. And it'll be better for everybody to understand the basic rules of the road. Right. We can all get on the road because we have driver's licenses, and we do that to make sure we all understand what a 4-way stop is. And some people still don't get that. Right. But in general, we still have like, hey, this is how everyone drives. Right. And the more we can do that basic education, or Airbnb, the basic education to their vendors, the better conversion rates everybody has and the more money they make. And it's that simple.
No, Sean, I want to focus on an element of this that Josh brought up, which is even when you're doing Airbnb and VRBO will ding you for doing anything that keeps them from making money and or that cause them to not have another option to capture that money if you pull out of the listing. And I guess a different way of saying that is all of these big management companies, all of them, they all want their clients to be virtually interchangeable from an operational standpoint, because if someone books your property and your property looks like 85% of the other properties selling at the same dollar amount, I can punish you and say, ah, bad you. You got a cancellation and it didn't rebook. And I had to move you over to another guy that 85 out of 100 listings look just like yours. So the customer's happy. They don't feel like they lost anything. They're satisfied. And you're just going to be put in purgatory for a minute until you get another listing, right? When your listing is astronomically different, most property managers who manage 20, 30, 40 units, most big places are going to say, ooh, nobody does that. This is a mistake. This is bad. And they're telling you this because if someone books the Cinderella's Castle suite at Disney World and you're staying in Cinderella's Castle and something happens and that gets canceled and they now have to just move you to one of 10,000 hotel rooms in the rest of the Disney park, there's a loss that you feel. I had something incredible. And now I have lost it. So Disney now has to throw in 50,000 other things to make you not feel a loss. Airbnb doesn't want to do that. Vrbo doesn't want to do that. Vacasa doesn't want to do that. Property managers don't want to do that. They just want everything to be interchangeable. Now you might be hearing this going, oh, so standing out is bad. No, standing out and being that first choice, you're going to have less people cancel on you. You're going to have less people. And when you do get canceled on, you're going to get rebooked very quickly, because when someone jumps up there and they're making a last second booking and it's all of the same, and then it's like, how is this available? Automatic booking. And you virtually don't lose, because even when you get canceled on, because you're already attracting higher echelon clients that are less likely to cancel, and you're doing those extra things Josh mentioned to be flexible for your clients, you're going to get rebooked so quickly that Airbnb doesn't get mad at you, because you're right back in the game. But the advice you're going to get from most people is to not stand out, to not be abnormal, to not be special. And that's a selfish piece of advice coming from the property manager that I've got to deal with this all the time with our clients, shifting their mindset that this is about standing out.
Yeah.
Okay. So all that we're talking to here leads to one thing. The goal should not be to be the top 50%. The goal should not be to be the top 70%. The goal is to be better than average, or is not to be good enough or even better than average, is to be the first choice. So that even when something goes wrong, you're automatically the first choice again. So if you design this way, going back to what we've previously talked about, building around emotion, experience, intentional differentiation, or as my mom always used to say, doing common things in uncommon ways. You're not just improving your listing, you're repositioning it.
Yeah.
That's how properties move into the top 10%, sometimes the top 1%. We have over 100 different unique markets where we're the number one listing in the market, not because they spent more money, they made intentional decisions with their money. So everyone, like Sean said on these other podcasts, is going to talk about standing out. But if they don't know how to take it a step further, you won't actually stand out, because the goal shouldn't be to stand out. It should be to make intentional choices. And if you don't know how to make those intentional choices, or what those intentional choices are, or if you're watching this right now and you're going, dang, Mike, everything you're saying sounds right. I don't want someone to open up 10 tabs and have me standing there where I'm being debated upon. I want them to just see my listing and go, if this is available, this is it. Because that's how you get from the top 10 to the top one or the number one listing. It is not by doing more or necessarily spending more. It's by doing different, correct things on purpose.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure how to get there, everyone says, how do we work with you, Mike? The answer is join Vodacy. We are Vodacy Design. but we keep that for our clients so that that unfair advantage stays with us and not out there with the rest of the world.
Yep. Yep. And we'll next week, we'll talk about, Josh, you mentioned something too, when we talk about some of these unfair advantages and how we execute and the things that we think about, because there's so many layers of what we, like Mike is saying, making intentional choices along the way and really intentional executable points along the way is who's booking this property? Is it men or is it women? Right. Josh says, you know, mom's booking the property. She doesn't want to talk to Josh. She wants to talk to your wife. Right. She wants to talk to mom. Right? It's like, I don't want to talk to dad. I want to talk to mom. And so, Mike, you know, I know you talk a lot about, you know, who are like, what is a woman want in a property? What is a man? We'll hit on that next week. I think that'll be a really good topic too.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, it's good. I mean, if you know what your client is looking for, then you know how to shape what you're doing for the client. Yeah. That simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll wrap it up today, you guys. I know that we try to keep it right around that 45 minutes to an hour, and good conversations. We're going to kind of change up our format on Whiskey Wednesday so that we have multiple angles. Maybe sometimes we disagree at times. We'll always be respectful of each other. Hopefully, we will be throwing stuff. We won't throw our whiskey glasses at each other. How about that? And so, I know it is, as you guys are listening to this, it's Wednesday, April 15th. Happy tax day to many of you. If you are paying a big tax bill, we happen to know some way you can reduce that tax bill by buying quality assets in quality areas called short-term rentals. And there is a loophole that you could massively reduce your taxes. So if you are having a big bill this year and you don't want to do that next year, make sure that you're reaching out to us. We've got a lot of resources to help you understand the advantages that short-term rental investing can be for that taxes. Those of you that have been employing that and are, you know, looking at your tax bill and saying, holy crap, I had this massive write-off and reduced my tax bill. I was able to put it into quality assets, quality areas. Congratulations, building a portfolio and letting Uncle Sam help you with that. It's always fun, you know. I would much rather spend my money than the government spending my money. If all things considered, I'd rather keep it in my pocket. So let's continue that. So guys, happy tax day. Thanks for joining us. As always, we know your time is very valuable, and I very, very much appreciate you spending with us. It means a lot. Remember the top of the episode, I asked you to share the show, but also subscribe. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. The final, most important thing I ask you to do is pick out one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.